Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Woodbury Report, where we talk with people helping struggling teens and young adults. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com. Today is January 19th, 2016, and we're going to talk about workplace success, and specifically those with autism and LD. My guest is Rob Crawford. Hi, Rob. Good to have you here.
Hi, Lon. Thank you.
Well, this is going to be interesting. The title is Creating Workplace Success, Autism and LD. And so let's talk about, how do you define workplace success? What's the important elements in that?
Well, I think there's, first of all, workplace success is a pretty personal and individual thing for each person. But I think the ultimate measure of workplace success would be the ideal fit between what the job seeker's value system, abilities, and talents, how well they match up to the knowledge, skills, and abilities, or KSAs, that employers post in their job description. And the greater the intersection between the two, the higher quality of life and job retention and overall satisfaction a person is going to experience.
Okay, so it's much more than just getting a paycheck and holding on to a job. There's a lot of personal things that are involved in that to be successful, because I think we all know a lot of people that their jobs are drudgery, and they hold on to it just for the paycheck, and they're miserable.
And they spend most of their time on social media and planning where they're going to go to next. Yes, they don't give the employer a full day's work, that's for sure.
Yeah, so all the way around, it's not a very good situation. Okay, well, what problems are there in workplace success, and particularly the young adults, particularly you work with those on the spectrum, the autism spectrum, or with learning differences or learning disabilities, whichever you prefer. What interferes with them having a good workplace success?
Well, many of them lack a clear understanding of what their disability is and its impact on career choices and their ability to perform a job. They may know some of what it means in academic settings, vis-a-vis through the IEP and those types of meetings, but those are educationally related, and they're really not as comprehensive as what we just talked about on the career choice side of things. If you combine that with restricted early opportunities, dependence on family, blend in a little academic failure, you definitely have low self-esteem and limited self-knowledge. On the employer side, many of them are just not that well informed on either spectrum disorders or learning disabilities, and they really are not very equipped to determine what types of accommodations really would work and are reasonable.
So these would be
some of the key things, yes.
So part of it there's a different rewiring of the brain, and things that the average person would take as normal, like showing up to work in time, might not be clear to the young person.
Absolutely. If you think about high school level special education services in general, everything, all the resources and supports are brought to the student. They're done to the student and for the student. In post-secondary and workplace settings, it's an adult responsibility to go out and ask for what you need and to be able to do it in the right time and place. And I'm just not familiar with any approach at the secondary or higher ed level where they teach these types of soft skills. The examples you just gave are perfect. Where do we teach these things? Where do we build skill in these areas?
So it's on both sides, it's a expectations lack. They expect something different from the other person that they're not prepared to, or the other party that they're not prepared to provide.
Right, and you have just a completely different language. I mean, on the top skills from the business community, that they're going to say, well, we need people that are able to process information to make informed decisions. Over on the high school side, they call that self-determination. In essence, there's a lot of similarities between the two, but you have to change the language and approach for the environment that you're trying to fit into.
Mm-hmm. So the SART is a different language, so you need to sort of translate the language.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, when you get a student and are working with it, what's the first thing that first thing you need to do, and I know that's pretty a general question and it's all individualized, but what do you start with? When you have a student and they really don't have a clue and they're on the spectrum or LD or what have you, what's the first thing you do?
Well, it's going to depend on how much time the professional or school has to work with that individual, but hopefully they're going to sit down and get some kind of self-report from them on what the individual thinks they know about, in this instance we're talking about employability. Mm-hmm. What do they know about the subject? What's their knowledge of it? And how much experience or skill do they have in applying that knowledge? Then you back that up with vocational assessment that is not just interest-based, but also has time batteries for abilities and aptitudes. So you're really looking at more than just an interest-based assessment of what a person actually can do and the way that it needs to be done by the employer. From that point, it's looking at some of the common barriers to success that a person may have and trying to get a handle on their social maturity, their awareness of personal limitations, and any kind of circular logic and rationalization about how it's everybody else's fault if things don't work. And finally, I think on the personal side, just the ability to distinguish aspects of their job and work environment that are controllable from those that aren't.
Well, that's something that parents should also be trying to do, at least to a limited extent. Could you rephrase that and talk more to the parents? What might be the parents do to get that started with their own child, say, before they make a placement?
I think consistency is the key thing. Quite often, parents, and I'm the parent of three adult kids with these same conditions, we see how banged up they get, and sometimes there's a tendency to not want them to go through any more of that than they need to, and it's just a natural consequence of growing up. Sometimes we get kicked around, and I think the best thing that parents can do is to continue to hold high and reasonable expectations and provide loving comfort along the way, as opposed to just, here, honey, let me do that for you.
Okay, so now you've gotten the groundwork, and you or the parent are starting to work with the child, they're doing something. So what are some of the common problems that come up that you need to intervene on to help them through the rough spots?
Well, if we're, you know, some of the things, if we're talking about along a focal area, is to look at, and there's many ways of doing this, both at home and school and in the community or church or other settings that are outside of school, but to work on their ability to get along with other people and the ability to follow directions and complete tasks, not just the way that they want to or what feels good, but the way it's supposed to be done. Dealing with frustration tolerance, some of that can be tied into sensory integration issues. Determining motivation. A lot of times I'll hear from young adults on the spectrum questions as to why they even need to work. So you can't present an opportunity to develop a career until you're able to start to address some of these pre-vocational things.
Why you need to work at all? I think that'd be a good question. They better have a bit of a grasp of it.
Well, I think many adults ask that same question of themselves.
Yeah, that's why retirement's so popular and planning for retirement, I guess.
That's right.
Okay, so can you think of any examples of any young people you've worked with lately, sort of a case study type of thing, and talk about how they intervened and how it worked out and what worked or didn't work?
Well, I mentioned one of the, I try not to say that's not realistic when one of our students will tell me what they want to do. I look at it more from the standpoint of, is it doable? So the starting point for one individual was they did come in and they wanted to be a Japanese anime translator. They had attended an LD boarding school in the Midwest, went to community college, pretty fluent in Japanese, had gone to anime conferences, pretty good artist. And we started off on looking at what that meant in terms of feasibility and doability. And through a series of events where this particular individual needed to make contact with employers in the community, these are structured interviews that we set up for them. She was able to determine that there was like three people in the world making a living doing this, and she didn't see herself as being the fourth. Now, it took us 7.5 months to get there. But when she finally got there, she said, you know, I really like science and animals. What can I do there? And we developed a career plan and a career ladder for her to go into veterinarian sciences. And ultimately, she did graduate from Kaplan with an Associates of Applied Science and got a national certification as a board-certified vet tech. That's what she's doing today. I just gave your listeners about a 6.5-year snapshot of one person. And it's really what it takes. I won't go in the tried and true. When you met one person with Asperger's, you met one person with Asperger's. But mm-hmm. there's a lot of validity to that, and really for all people, no matter what the field is that they want to go into, on the actual career development and job placement side, they're all one-offs. So you're really looking at a specialized environment with a certain value set and certain skills that are required, and then you match that up with the student candidate that wants to go into that. It takes a lot of work to get them there.
One takeaway I took from that, and I think is a general principle, even less than the average young person, you can't tell them what to do. You have to help them discover it themselves.
That's right, because they'll be contrarian and show you it's their way, and that just wastes a lot of time and energy. It's a preferred method that I like to use is not to be too subjective about a person's choice, but to be consultative and advisory, and just have them put the information in front of them and work on their reflection and their analysis of the things that you and I have been talking about. Does it fit? Do you have the skills and abilities? Can you handle the environment? Can you handle the amount of work that's done? And these are not just cerebral questions that can be asked and answered in a controlled classroom setting. You got to be out in the real world in authentic settings where other people are the authorities and experts, not just you as the teaching talking head. And this just really creates autonomy on the decision in the hands of the students and the level of responsibility and engagement that it's going to take for them to be successful is right where it should be. It's in their hands. We're the supporting cast.
It sounds like that's good advice for parents and teachers and professionals such as yourself and working with these kids. Well, we've about run out of time. This is Lon Woodbury, and we've been talking with Rob Crawford about creating workplace success, autism and LD. Now, Rob, I forgot to mention earlier, he's an author, and he co-founded the Life Development Institute in Arizona, did that in 1982, and he served thousands of individuals with learning differences or learning disabilities. Would you like to give a brief rundown, Rob, about what Life Development Institute is, and if somebody has any further questions, how they can get a hold of you?
Well, many of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with the Individualized Education Plan, or IEP, that is created for high school students, and in particular, there's a component of it called the transition component. And there are five adult performance domains in there that are supposed to be part of that futures planning. What we've done is taken that concept and completely developed a program around that, to where we don't just look at what people with disabilities need to do to be successful adults, but what are the knowledge, skills, and abilities that all adults 18 to 30 years old need to do. And we've created competencies that are rubric-based performance assessments that capture some level of mastery of competency for them. And we spread that across both day and residential programs for high school and post-secondary students. And we offer a 5-week emerging leadership program based on the Northern Arizona University campus in Flagstaff that also is kind of a snapshot of some of these things, more on the social skill and employability side.
All right. If somebody had any questions or wanted to rattle your cage and talk to you a little bit, how would they get a hold of you?
They can contact me directly at my phone number at work, area code 623, telephone number 773-2774, and my direct line extension is 217. And then I think you are going to offer your listeners my email address as well.
Okay, yeah. Could you give that for me? I don't have it right in front of me.
Certainly, Lon. That's rcrawford@discoverldi.com.
Okay, and of course the website is www.discoverldi.com. I'll write all this down in the stuff that will be accompanying this. Well, thank you very much, Rob. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking with Rob Crawford about workplace success, creating it, particularly for autism and LD kids. Thank you very much, and you have a good day, Rob.
Thanks, Lon.